Our Heavenly Father, on this Lord's Day, we are learning to lean on you. We thank you that we have this opportunity to come into your house and worship you today. We pray now that you would speak to each one of our hearts. We pray that you would heal our physical bodies, you would heal our emotions. We pray that you would heal our spirits, Lord. In these moments together, may we draw closer to you and closer to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
I invite you to join with me now in the prayer of confession and pardon. It is on page 12 in your United Methodist hymnal. Shall we unite our hearts and voices together in this prayer of confession? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God,
We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
This past week, my son-in-law, Charles Bell, had a knee replacement. We got him home on Thursday, I think. I've lost track of time. And then Friday, his wife, my daughter, Ann, her back went out. So she's having a difficult time. I think she's at that point that she thinks maybe the Lord Uh-huh. Says he won't. Sometimes I know we think that he has put too much. So I'd ask that you pray for Ann, pray for Charles. He's doing well, but as you can imagine, he's not moving around a lot. He's kind of stuck in one room, and they have a tri-level, so it means somebody's got to go get up and down the steps. This weekend, it's been the kids. Monday, it may be me, so we'll see.
Right.
We need your prayer.
Okay, if you're in our Bible study, you know that God doesn't put the stuff on us, but life does happen. Yes, it surely does. All right. And ladies, you may want to hurry up and get in on the fashion trend. I understand the latest thing with our ladies is wearing a boot on one leg. Right leg or left leg, or it doesn't matter. Okay, either one. So, but do keep Linda and Carson in your prayers. They're not trying to make a fashion statement. They're trying to recuperate. So we do want to remember them. Any others?
I have a joy to share. My granddaughter Abby will be graduating from Campbellsville University next Saturday, and she's valedictorian of her class.
Wonderful. Great. We know where she got that from, don't we?
Yes.
Absolutely. Michelle? Yes, all right. Wonderful. Any others? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we give you thanks and praise for seeing us through another week. Lord, we don't know what today holds. We don't know what this week holds. But we know who's holding our hand. So we pray that you would remind us day by day that nothing is going to happen to us that us and God together can't handle. We realize, Lord, that there are many people across the globe who are very concerned about all of the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. We see demonstrations, we see riots, we see acts of terror. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we might act like children of the King of the universe. That we might be ready to share love and mercy and compassion with our brothers and sisters. remind us that we are so blessed and there are so many around us with so many needs. Help us, Lord. Help us that we might indeed share and show your wonderful love. We pray that you would be with all of our global leaders today, whomever they may be. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment, give them compassion. We pray that you would help us, Lord, that we might realize that you have made us stewards of all of the many wonderful blessings of the universe that are ours. Help us, Lord, to do the work that you've called us to do. Each and every one of us here today are called to be about your business. Someone has said that every heart with Jesus Christ is a missionary, and every heart without Jesus Christ is a mission field. We've got our work before us, Lord. We thank you for Rockwood United Methodist Church and for all of the people down through the years who have served you so faithfully. We pray now that you would help us, that we might do your work and your will. Help us, Lord, that we might seek to raise up those who will come after us to continue your work. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would prepare our hearts as we get ready to come to your table. Remind us, Lord, that it's not because of who we are that we come to the table. It's because of who you are. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you, for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing Fill My Cup, Lord.
Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel?
John chapter 6, verses 47 to 58. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. So Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, let's talk a little bit first about America's favorite pastime. And I'm not talking about baseball. I think you'll agree with me that for many of us, probably for most of us, one of our favorite pastimes is eating. We need to realize first that we live in a world where 3.1 million children under five die from starvation every year. And over 12% of the world's population is undernourished. At the same time, two out of three Americans are considered to be obese. The medical cost of obesity in America is estimated to be almost $120 billion per year, with 100,000 to 400,000 deaths attributed to obesity every year just in our country. And Americans are spending over $42 billion a year trying to lose weight. According to Andy Rooney, the two biggest selling book categories in almost any bookstore are cookbooks and diet books. Cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food, and diet books tell you not to eat it. Let's take a couple of minutes here, forgive me, to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. In America, we have made the ingestion of food to be an event of almost Olympic proportions. With summer coming on and vacations and picnics, this will be played out again and again on our national stage, and perhaps even in our own family gatherings. I don't know if you're familiar or not with the name of Sonia Thomas, young lady from Virginia. She'll turn 50 this summer. I think maybe she might be slowing down a little bit. But she weighs just 98 pounds. Now, I used to weigh 98 pounds, but I don't remember when. To give you an idea, she weighs just 5 pounds more than Jessica, our daughter-in-law that comes here with the kids. You know what her stature is. Sonia Thomas weighs 98 pounds, but she holds 38 world records for eating. A few of her records include chicken nuggets, 80 in 5 minutes, hard-boiled eggs, 65 in 6 minutes and 40 seconds, hamburgers, 7 three-quarter pound, fully dressed, thick burgers in 10 minutes. Crystals. This record was set in Knoxville, Tennessee in 2005, September the 5th. 57 crystals in 8 minutes. Oysters. 46 dozen, that's 552 in 10 minutes. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched competitive eating on television or not. Watching them eat raw oysters is not a pretty sight. Tacos, 48 soft chicken tacos in 11 minutes. Now, she doesn't hold all the world records. Let me give you some of the other ones. A 17-inch pizza, 3 minutes. Blueberry pie, hands-free, 9.17 pounds in 8 minutes. Chicken wings, 137 in 30 minutes. Corn on the cob, 34.75 ears in 12 minutes. Crawfish, 331 in 12 minutes. Glazed donuts, 49 in 8 minutes. Grilled cheese sandwiches, 47 in 10 minutes. Hot dogs with buns, 66 in 12 minutes. Ice cream, 1 gallon in 12 minutes. Pickled jalapenos, 247 in 8 minutes. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, 42 in 10 minutes. And now, for those of you that enjoy from time to time having a pity party, you remember that little ditty, "Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms"? The record for them is 95 in 30 seconds. Orson Welles once said that his doctor had advised him to give up those intimate little dinners for four, unless he was with three other people. A scientist computed that the average human being eats 16 times his or her weight in food in the average year, while a horse eats only 8 times its weight in food. So that proves that if we want to lose weight, we should eat like a horse. Now, okay, let me tell you this. There really is a scriptural tie-in here, okay? If you're wondering when we're going to get to the sermon, this is it. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about how in some of the Corinthian churches, when they observed the love feast or the Lord's Supper, they had a problem there because some of the people would get there early. And they would eat all the food and they would drink all the drink. And when the others got there, there was nothing left. Some would overindulge and others would go hungry. Now, in 21st century America, I've already mentioned that we spend billions of dollars on diets and diet fads and programs to compensate for our eating habits, while millions of people worldwide are starving to death. In your worship folder, we're reminded that over 30,000 children are dying every day from malnutrition and related diseases. In one way or another, many of us are obsessed with earthly food. What do you suppose would happen if we as individuals and as a church were that obsessed with the spiritual food that Jesus offers to us? I've often challenged my people, if you want to lose weight, if you want to grow spiritually, then what you do is you watch, and as you feed yourself spiritually, as you have devotions, as you pray, as you think about the things of God, then you feed yourself physically also. Now, what this would mean for these people that only come once a week to church and that's their worship for all the week long, that's all the contact they have with God during the week, that means that once you leave church on Sunday morning, you go eat. And then next Sunday, you go to church and then you go eat. The next Sunday, you go to church and then you go eat. Now, I'm not advising you to do that because that's probably not healthy. The best thing is, you know, doctors say you eat 5 or 6 small meals during the day so you don't get really ravenously hungry. Try the same thing spiritually. get out your Bible and read a chapter or two or three, and or listen to a good spiritual tape or some good gospel music, and then go get a snack. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, don't overdo it physically either. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me shall not hunger. Those who believe in me shall never thirst." He also said, "I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, they will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." A poll was taken in a national Presbyterian group. One of the questions on that poll was, when do you feel the greatest sense of being at worship with God? Nearly 80% of the respondents replied that it was during the celebration of the Lord's Supper. There's something about coming to the Lord's table and partaking of the bread and cup that lifts us to a higher plane. Let me give you three possibilities with three stories to illustrate this. First of all, the bread and the cup touch us right where we live. A while back, I shared a story with you, and I'd like to share it again. It illustrates this point very well. Tom was the senior minister at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. And often he would volunteer at the soup kitchen for one of the homeless shelters there. After the people had been fed, he would invite them to a communion service in the chapel. They had shared soup together, and now they come together to share the bread and the cup. One day, as Tom was serving communion at the altar rail, one of the men there whispered to him, "Skip me." "Pardon me," Tom said. In a louder whisper, the man said, "Skip me." "Why?" asked Tom. "Because I'm not worthy." Tom replied, "Neither am I, but I'm going to serve communion to these others. Then I'm going to come back and serve you, and then I want you to serve me." The man blinked. "Father, is that legal?" Tom served the others and then came back to the reluctant man and said, "What's your name?" The man replied, "Josh." Tom placed the bread and cup before him and said, "Josh, this is the body and blood of Christ given for you. Eat and drink this and remember that Christ lived and died for you. Amen." Josh blinked back tears and received communion. Then Tom knelt and handed Josh the trays of bread and wine and said, "Now you serve me." Josh nervously took the trays in his weathered hands and again asked, "Father, are you sure this is legal?" "Yes, it's legal. Just do it." Josh's eyes were darting around from side to side as if he expected the police or the Pope to come rushing in and arrest him. Finally, he held the trays toward Tom. Josh muttered, "Body, blood, Jesus for you. Hang in there." Tom later said, "Of all the communion rituals I've ever read, I don't recall the words 'hang in there' in any of them, but for me, Holy Communion had never been more holy." As Josh walked out of the homeless shelter, he was standing taller and had a spring in his step. Everywhere he went, he told people, "You won't believe what I did today." The story became so widespread that from that day on, Josh became known in the streets as the Rev. This is a story of love, grace, acceptance, forgiveness, reconciliation, bridge building, and Holy Communion. It reminds you and me that Jesus, of who Jesus was, and that common people heard him because he loved them, he enjoyed them, and he brought them hope. Common people heard Jesus gladly. Because of him, they were not common. They were special. and so are we. And that's what we're called to remember as we come to the Lord's table. We may not understand what Jesus meant when he said we couldn't share his kingdom if his body was not broken and his blood was not shed. But we know it means we are not worthy. When we take the bread and cup, we're open to God's unmerited love for us as sinners. It touches us right where we live. Number two, through God's love, we can reach out and touch others. 1984, the film was Places in the Heart. It was nominated for 11 Oscars and it won 4. It was set in the South during the Depression, and it told about a father of 3 small children who was shot in a tragic accident. The young black man who shot the father during a drunken spree was lynched for it. The widow of the father, played by Sally Field, is left penniless. The bank is about to foreclose on her farm. She struggles to keep her home and the crop of cotton on which everything depended. An unemployed black drifter named Mose, played by Danny Glover, helps her harvest her cotton and save the farm. Eventually, Mose is run out of town by the Klan. This was instigated by the mill operator, who was upset about the wise business advice that Mose gave to the widow. Now let's fast forward in this movie to the closing moments. We see the congregation gathered for worship. The pastor finished reading 1 Corinthians 13. The elements of Holy Communion are passed through the congregation. As the people take the bread and the cup, we become aware that this is no ordinary communion service. The camera zooms in. There's the widow, the widow's dead husband, and the young man who shot him. Mose is there, the banker who was about to foreclose on the farm, and the cotton gin operator are also there. Members of the Klan are there. Black tenant farmers are there. Also in attendance is a couple whose marriage had been torn apart and who were now reconciled, as if to say, here is a place where there's healing, where there's room for all, where there's food, where there's life, and where we are a family. There's a song, I'd like to hear the choir sing it sometime. It says, I was straying so far from Jesus, I was lonely, had no peace within. Then the hand of my Savior touched me, and now I'm reaching to others in sin. Oh, to be his arms extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. Here is a place where God wants to touch you and me. Here is a place that we come to today where we can reach out and touch others. And here is a place in the midst of life with all that happens. Number three, where we can reach out and touch Jesus. You remember the account in the gospel about the woman that had been suffering and sick for years? It tells that one day Jesus passed by and she reached out and just touched the hem of his garment and was healed. There's something about the Lord's Supper that's similar to being able to reach out and touch Jesus. William Barclay tells that when Admiral Nelson was buried, a group of his sailors carried his coffin into St. Paul's Cathedral. The coffin was draped with the Union Jack flag. Later, they carried his body to the graveside, and about that occasion, someone wrote, "With reverence and with efficiency, they lowered the body of the world's greatest admiral into its tomb. Then, as though answering an order from the quarterdeck, they took the Union Jack flag off the coffin and tore it into pieces. Each man took a part of that flag. Throughout the rest of their lives, that little bit of cloth spoke to them of the admiral whom they had loved so dearly." When we leave here this morning, each one of us will take a little part of Christ with us. We've reached up and touched Jesus as he reaches down to us. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, God reminds you and me that we are loved. Jesus is the bread of life. He touches and satisfies our deepest needs. He enables us to reach out and touch one another. We can draw closer to him and to each other when we eat the bread and drink the cup. In a world that is obsessed with food, either to the point of having too much or because they do not have enough, Jesus gives all of us who will receive it the bread of life, eternal bread, eternal life. Take and eat and hang in there. Heavenly Father, this morning, prepare our minds and our hearts for this time together, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to join with me now in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which was given for you." Likewise, after supper, we're told that he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I'd like to ask those who are going to help serve this morning to please come forward.